Blog Talk Radio.
The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC radio network. During each episode, Elvira and Deb will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures, and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Deb, take it away.
All right. Well, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Another show into our month, so taking it away kind of makes me feel good. We're moving. And we have sound, and our technology is working with us, so this is a good night. Mm-hmm. My name is obviously Elvira, and my co-hostess Deb is also, as we chuckle along, and we're here tonight to follow through on our month's theme of transforming, journeying through. Thanks for tonight is working with Kate, which for both of us is our very, very special goddess. But before we actually wander in marvelous knowledge all over the place, we kind of need to do our check-in. So I will kind of start off really quickly and give a short check-in. I know we've got a lot of information we want to share. So basically this last week, I have been dealing, I may have mentioned this in the last show, but I have an armadillo that seems to have decided that among all of the different houses, it goes from one to the other of the yards and has many different delicious grubs and worms that he's eating, but he's also digging up all of the yards. So I've tried to find ways to, you know, be humane about this. And I had someone who said they would help me trap him, but then they decided after trying, they didn't have the right trap. So then we discussed it, and I decided that I looked up herbal things and, you know, things that would be more reasonable, because doing it with a pest company was going to be very expensive. And so basically the first line that we're going to try is basically a repellent that is going to kill off and get rid of all the little grubs and worms and things. So this is basically going to be like a wasteland heap. It will not want to come here to dine or to lunch, and that will be how we'll see if that works. If not, there are some homemade sprays you can use with vinegar, and, you know, they don't like majorly smelly, icky, you know, I mean, really kind of that kind of stuff, so we can make that and spray the yard to be able to, you know, repel him that way or it that way. It's been a very interesting experience. You know, I did find out from another person, they hate light, bright light. So if you take a flashlight and you shine it at them, they're going to run like hell. They do not like it. So I have a flashlight with a very powerful beam at my door because dust.
Are they nocturnal?
Yes, they are definitely nocturnal. It actually was here at 7 o'clock at night, and that's when I got to see him. I keep calling it a him, but I see it. And I went out and took a couple of pictures, and then I started, you know, yelling and growling and thinking, and it just basically kind of didn't even bother. It just sort of waddled off like, oh, God, really? So that has been my, you know, excursion. And I also have found that they have come out, a lot of them, because right now sad as it's true, we're kind of in a slight drought here, meaning we don't have the moisture and the wetness that would also get our creeks and everything going. So at this point, they are coming out of the areas and looking for things because, you know, they don't have the natural places that they normally have. So they're coming down to, you know, areas even with humans in it. So that's been part of my excursion of that. And I'm going, well, this is, you know, a new one on me. So that's, you know, other than that, it's been, you know, trying to take care of duties and responsibilities and, you know, all the different things that have come up. My daughter is going to be having a birthday in another week. And so, of course, I am busily trying to get, you know, the things I would like to give her, you know, and then ideas and things, take her out somewhere. And that's pretty much, you know, it. I mean, the hurricanes haven't brought any kind of moisture or anything, but I will tell you the barometric pressures have been uncomfortable as all get out because, you know, it just is like you can feel all of that. A lot of us do and we just ignore it. I, of course, now understand it. I just thought, you know, at first it was just, oh, my sinuses have got, you know, congestion or something to do with, you know, the different pollens. But now I know and it doesn't help as, you know, as much as I would like it to. But what's been happening on your end of the world, dear?
I am doing really well. I know that there's a lot of craziness going on, and I've been in a number of, you know, prayer chains and energy chains for, you know, everybody going through the hurricanes and the tornadoes and all that stuff that's going on down south. And so I just want to say, you know, to everybody out there, just send them your prayers, your love, your energy, and, you know, hopeful, you know, that people will be found and get through this. I'm actually doing very well. I'm still in the Northwoods, and of course, broadcasting near my favorite crossroad. And I'm just really very immersed in nature for the last couple of weeks. I'm still doing readings and stuff, but I'm just really just riding the blaze of these beautiful fall colors and with the extra bonus of the Aurora Borealis. I was able to take a few photos the other night, and then I have an app, an Aurora app that shows that it's going to be pretty pretty strong tonight also. And it tells me, like, when's, you know, what the cloud coverage is and the best time to look and all that stuff. So I'll be going out again later on, Aurora hunting and getting, you know, hopefully getting a few cool pics and just enjoying the, of that. There's been some kind of crazy, strange electrical storms a few nights ago. Oh, I did a Deathman ritual, and I'll talk more about what that is a little later, but it's a ritual for Hecate, and on the dark moon night, I did that, and at the point of the ritual where I was just kind of communing, I heard an owl hooting, and it just like, I just thought that was just like a wonderful nod. Of her speaking to me through nature, and then also like then the night before last when we went out and we're looking at the Aurora, we were up on this really dark road at first, and we could, you know, I was like, oh, you know, I think I can see them, you know, and then we were standing there for a while, it was pitch black, and I heard a wolf howl. And I was like, oh, it's another nod, you know. But then I thought, you know, it's a nice nod because it's pitch black here and I can't see what's going on. I'm going to go to a different spot, you know. so that we did. Right. I just, you know, that's, wolves are my spirit animal. I just love wolves. But I just wanted to mention before we jump into it this is a great night to do the 10, to talk about transformation and to talk about working with Hecate, because this is the 10-10 portal that's happening. And so that energy is coming into full potential, and it kind of marks the end of one chapter in our life and the beginning of the next chapter. And so obstacles should be falling away, and the path should be opening up more clearly before us, and new opportunities should be starting to align with us. And so it's definitely a time of transformation and renewal. And so just look for, if you see any of the numbers like 11, 22, or 10, 10 over the next day or two, let that serve like as a reminder for us to kind of push the reset button and just reframe or restructure or kind of reprioritize, you know, and just let go of what we no longer need and then open up to those new opportunities so we can work with that portal of transformation.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, well, that, thank you. That is another, that kind of an adjunct to, you know, again, change and transformation in terms of our month-long themes. So that's good. Thank you. So let's just jump right in with who and where and what. And Hecate, they're different spellings and translations, but basically she, you know, tends to be the one, you know, I think with regards to the witchcraft and, you know, that area, a lot of modern witches have kind of engaged with her, but she does have a lot of different things that she does, I don't want to say rule over, but govern or work with, and there is magic and witchcraft and the night and the moon and ghosts and, you know, liminal spaces between the worlds. She is very much a part of that. She was she is a Titan and an only child of Perseus and Astaria. And she, of course, has, you know, a very interesting history, because remember, the Titans were the original deity energies and deities, and then, of course, the Olympians. But Zeus, in the war with the Titans, basically gave her a lot of honor above all else and gave her splendid gifts and gave her the heavens. She actually had all three areas. If you think about it, she, you know, her energies kind of go in between all both those, you know, all three of those areas. But she was given a lot of respect and honor, and he, you know, basically had a great deal of things he wanted to honor and be with, you know, in her good graces, so to speak. Now, as a goddess, her where she, you know, comes from, and or what the energies where she was most worshipped before she became Greek or was utilized for the Greek tradition, was Anatolia, Ancaria, and Phrygia, and Asia Minor, and, of course, came in through that particular area. So she did have an energy prior to the Greek energies that took on hers, and I guess that, again, if you look at the concept of Titans, that they came before this other group, and, of course, you look at the Greek the Greek civilization, it's kind of like another step into moving, I don't want to just say forward, but moving into another level. So she represents that actual liminal space. She has a lot of, you know, energies that you know, in a lot of ways you can work with her. And, you know, there are things like the Wheel of Hecate, which is a labyrinth-like symbol, and it shows, it's basically the three aspects of, you know, maiden, mother, and crone. And if you think of it, the symbol of rebirth and renewal. It's also, again, the liminal space between maiden and mother, between mother and crone. And then, of course, you move back into, you know, from crone, it's, you know, death, and then you go back into birth again. So it's this cycle. And I think that the wheel is an appropriate way. And then, of course, how they've actually designed it. Torches, because she basically works as a guide through the underworld and darkness. And keys, which I always have loved, you know, and control over the crossing point between, you know, the physical and the spiritual world. I think they even mentioned knives. I didn't see very much about that at any given point. But and as you said, wolves, so dogs, it's kind of like the watchdogs, you know, the companions. And I found it interesting because, you know, I've always think of them as the black dogs, you know, or the, you know, the, you know, of course, who are translated later into the dogs of hell. But I have my dogs that I have are white dogs. And I kind of have amusingly gone that I seem to have my pack or my guardians as my energies here, but they're white. And I thought that was really interesting because, you know, the concept of black is kind of more like her style, but anyway. And there are a couple of others. Obviously, you mentioned owl, and there's snakes, and lions and polecats, I thought was an interesting addition to some of the animals that are part of her communication with you or with the different aspects. She is a virgin goddess, so, you know, I think that that is an interesting process, one unto herself. And basically, I'm going to turn over the next few minutes to you because I think you have probably a lot more to add.
Yes, she is, to me, the most fascinating deity. I am so connected to her. So it's just, it's interesting that she does have kind of a complex history. And she is kind of associated, or she might be actually rooted in the ancient Mesopotamian goddess Ereshkigal. They do have a little bit of a similar story there. But it's interesting to note that in the ancient spells of the Greek magical papyri, Hecate is referenced in there more times than any other goddess, and this is most often in relation to her association with spirits. So she has been syncretized with many other goddesses, and she's both... kind of like you pointed out, and I love that the keys are one of her symbols, is she's both an Aaronic and a Chthonic deity. So she is of the heavens, but she's also of the earth and of the underworld. And so she has such a liminal nature. But she, so she really has a lot of different elements or aspects to her. She's, if you look back in her mythology, of course there's Persephone, everybody kind of knows about her, but she's also linked to angels. She's linked to King Solomon, and she's tied to the demiurge, or the whole, you know, the beginning and the world soul. And In some Gnostic oracles, she is considered like the world soul by the Chaldeans, or Chaldeans. I'm probably not saying them correctly, but they were very much like an early Gnostic Hecatean cult. And I just want to say that I'm going to say a little bit about the three-way crossroad because that's what she's most associated with. And I just want to point out that if anyone is interested in more information on how to work with crossroads, especially with her or other type of crossroads, check out Lucky Mojo, because we did a couple years ago at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, we did a panel on crossroads and working with crossroads. And mm-hmm. I'm on there talking about Tecate and the three-way crossroad. And so I highly recommend it. There's so much good information in there. And I'm on there with them, really just awesome workers that that have so much information. But I just want to say about the three-way crossroad is the triple crossroad is a very much a liminal space of great mm-hmm. power. And when I'm talking about this triple crossroad, I mean the three-way crossroad that's shaped like a fork in the road, not the dead-end energy of the T-shaped crossroad, but the dynamic energy of that Y-shaped crossroad. That is Hecate's crossroad. She rules over that crossroad. And this three-way crossroad is a liminal space of connection between the three realms of existence, you know, the underworld, the physical world, and the upper realms. And so the place where the three roads meet carries within it just a very ancient and powerful manifestation of that energy of these three levels of existence. This particular crossroad acts as a gateway between the realms, and Hecate does hold the keys to these three realms. And so this is her domain, and this is a great place to work with her. If you are not able to work at an actual dirt three-way crossroad, you can gather some dirt from a three-way crossroad and use it on your altar at home to create a three-way crossroad on there. And so, you know, we kind of glossed over. I think that that's why she's often showed with the statues with the three faces. Because she is considered the goddess of magic, witchcraft, and necromancy. And she is really the quintessential crossroads spirit, and she is the gatekeeper of that liminal space of the three-way crossroad. And so her three faces represent the three realms that she has power over. And so that's, you know, I think that there are a lot of great deities to work with, but she really is my favorite because they're, you know, as we'll explore in the next chapter, there is so much that you can do in regard to working with her. And, she's, in regard to spellcasting, she's really kind of covers, like, everything. She's like the jack of all trades. And she also rules over the spirits of the dead.
She's definitely a good goddess for October and Samhain. So what are some of her her slash epithets that you would be able to tell us about? Because I think that might be a good one to give an idea.
So I usually use the epithet which most fits what I am seeking from her. Hecate Brimo, that's the angry or terrifying form. And that can be called upon for justice and revenge, but I would use that one very cautiously. Then there is Hecate Chthonia, meaning of the earth and the underworld. And so we might use that epithet like to guide us in the physical realm, but also as well as in any shadow work or underworld journey of transformation. So Hecate Chthonia would be a wonderful one. I would say if you are just new to working with Hecate, I would call upon Hecate Propolos, because that epithet means friend, ally, or guardian. And so, you know, who better than Hecate can we call upon to ally with us on our magical and transformative path of of being a witch. Yeah. A Another one that I like is Hecate Dicero, which means teacher. And that would be an excellent epithet when we seek guidance in our transformation through the witch's path. One more is Hecate is the torchbearer. And she's the one that I call upon. Because she lights the way, I call upon this form when I'm seeking clarity, sometimes in life situations, and sometimes during divination or whenever, you know, I'm seeking like extra clarity.
Right, right.
Yeah. So there's, let's see, I'll give you one more. I guess, let's see, Hecate Sotira, which means liberator or savior. And so I would call upon her in this form when you find yourself in an oppressive situation. And when you truly need her to come to your aid. So there's many epithets, many ways of working with her or calling upon her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Those are my favorites.
Yeah. It's interesting because I actually, the page that had like a huge list of those, and I'm like going, oh my gosh. And then I thought, well, you had mentioned when, you know, we try to get together, you know, before and have a chit chat about where we're going with our show, you know, a few days before, and you're mentioning them, and I'm going, no, she has to take it. Deb has to take this. So that's why I have kind of put that together. And at this point, I'm trying to look here. Oh, I do have to mention Hecate has been mentioned in Shakespeare, among other things. So brought into more literary situations. He, you know, Shakespeare did, you know, Midsummer Night, King Lear, and Macbeth. She has been, you know, utilized in that way. I thought that was kind of nice. Now, I think our time is close, so we have our commercial. Please break us away.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Well, we are back on track.
So
we get to do something, you know, other than, you know, like information throwing. We're going to give you some really neat things about working with Hecate. And with that, I'm going to start by letting Deb have her beginning of that, because I think there's some real interesting things she will bring out. So take it away, darling.
All right. Well, there are, you know, it's with Hecate. Hecate, there are so many juicy, wonderful things, some fantastic things that you can do to work with Hecate. Of course, you know, first you would want to get to know her. I mean, you don't want to enter into trying to work with any deity without, you know, trying to begin an alliance. You know, so you would, just like for any other deity, do your research, find out as much as possible. You might start out with small tributes or offerings, or maybe go into meditation to connect with her. And if you can work in a liminal space, which is like the three-way crossroads is the best, or create that three-way crossroad on your altar, that is just the best thing that you can do. Once you do start to get to become more allied with Hecate, and there's like three different things that I want to bring up. And so I'm not going to dive so deeply into each of them because I wouldn't get through them. But the first one that I just want to mention is, since we're talking about journeying through transformation, Hecate, she's, if you are on the witch's path and you're doing any shadow work, Hecate is one of the best deities to do shadow work with. I just want to mention, not so much about the how-to, because that would take like a whole nother show, but because of her liminality, she has the keys to all three realms. And so she can go with you to the underworld and the exploration of your shadow and help you remove obstacles while also connecting you to your higher self and, you know, activating your inner strength and helping you to stand in your own power and not give your power away. And so she, I just wanted to say, that she will guide you through transitions. She is, I really love working with her energy because she's not going to carry you. She's not going to coddle you or anything like that, but she will guide you. And so a lot of that ends up being about trust. So you got to build that relationship first. The second thing I wanted to talk about is, because I think that this isn't really, I don't see this, and it's just a wonderful ritual tool to use, and it's called a jinx wheel or an inx wheel. So I'm just going to call it a jinx wheel for now. And you can see this wheel referenced in the book of Hecate Sotira by Sarah Iles Johnson, which she goes into some good historical information. But anyway, this tool is similar to a bulgur or a whirligig. And it's used to connect with Hecate and with the spirit, I would say like the spirit of the jinx, which is like kind of an opening to all spirits, depending on your intention. And so in ancient Greece, this jinx, which I should mention that jinx, the original meaning of jinx is a spell or charm. It just later on kind of got like the more bad luck connotations. But in ancient Greece, this was associated with love and love spells. But the jinx is actually named for a bird called the wryneck. And the reason it became a magical tool is because the wryneck, when it is mating, it will twist its neck around to attract mates. And so the whirling motion and the flute-like singing attracts and draws potential mates. And so early Greek witches saw this correspondence to attracting a lover, and they used it for love spells. So it wasn't until the Chaldeans, where this wheel became a ritual tool, and it began to be used in more mystical type rituals. And so in an account that is directly tied to Hecate, they describe a sphere type object that encircles a sapphire or a lapis, which is whirled around to create a whirring sound that's similar to the sound that the bull roarer makes. And the bull roarer is basically like a piece of wood attached to a cord, and then it's swung around to produce like this whirring sound. So with the jinx, you would swing the not with a bull roarer. That's, I mean, that goes out a lot further, and you would have to be outside to use it. If you use it inside, you're going to end up breaking a lot of stuff. But But with the jinx, you would swing this sphere towards you to bring things closer and swing away to push things away. And so this movement, when you're spinning it, produces a humming or a whirling sound. And the movement of the jinx wheel along with the sound produces what gives it its power. And so you need both the movement and the sound for it to work. And so the concept of this ritual tool is to be related to the draft spindle used for spinning, and witches were known for casting spells while spinning thread. And so they would use the energy of the spinning to cast these spells. So anyway, I want to get back to the Chaldeans, though, because they were inspired. I'm just going to give a tiny brief history. They were inspired by Plato's myth of Earth, which is a story at the end of Plato's Republic. And this is a story about a soldier, and the soldier tells about when he died. And he doesn't drink from the river of forgetfulness, and he remembers everything that happened in the afterlife. And the Chaldeans were influenced by his description of the eight celestial spheres, and that each sphere had a siren that sings a song. And they would spin around the spindle of necessity, producing that sound. And this harmony basically maintained creation. And this story influenced the ancient Chaldeans to apply this concept and movement and sound to the jinx wheel, simulating like a mini cosmos. And so the jinx has basically become, it becomes like a microcosm of creation. And it's the inspiration and meaning and is why it creates magic through its sound and movement. And so you can, this is not a tool that you're just going to find. I think maybe a couple years ago I found one for sale on Etsy. But you can actually buy like wooden circles. They're kind of like coasters. make sure they're thin. And you can paint or decorate them. I've made a couple, and I put phase wheel on the outside of it. And you have to make a couple holes and then have some sturdy cotton string. And so what you do is you spin it. You're holding the string in both hands in front of you, and then you have this this brown disc of wood spinning it. And as you spin it and then you pull on it, it starts making that whirring sound. And so the jinx is believed to contain, the spirit of the jinx is contained in the wheel. And so after you create it and decorate it and put your intention into it, you can consecrate it with incense. And then in your rituals, the way that I use it is I start spinning and I do the spinning where it's coming in towards me to call in Hecate or, you know, whatever spirit that I'm seeking. And then, you know, I'll say some of her epithets, I'll spin the wheel and draw her in. The other way you can use it is you can start spinning it outwards to send out your intention. And so you can spin outwards to do your to send your energy or your intention where you want to send it. And so that's I just think that it's an awesome ritual tool, and it I've used it to some really, really good results. And I think that the whirring sound actually helps the person who's using it into an altered state. So that's it helps you to connect more readily.
Right.
And then the last little thing I'm going to say, probably like a 2-minute thing, is the Depnon ritual is something that's done once a month on the, I call it the dark moon. Some people call it the new moon, but I like it to be the actual dark moon. This is the time that Hecate is said to be moving through the night, with followed by the restless dead in her wake. And so, if you can set up offerings. I like to set out either honey, water, barley, incense. But it's basically the Depnen is about clearing away the previous month's energy and opening the way and moving forward. So you can use it just to connect with Hecate. The offerings that you put out are kind of more for the restless dead who follow in her wake rather than for her. But what I have found is that she appreciates that because it's like you're doing an energy exchange by helping those restless spirits along to follow her by setting out offerings. She really does appreciate that and will show that to you. And so that's another way of working with her that I find to be just a great ritual to do. So I'm going to hush up because I know that you have some great great ways of working with Hecate.
Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting. I was listening and I was going, yeah, okay, good. You know, some of the things, now I have a specific way I work with her because when I first gathered with the coven I was with, and that was who our goddess was, that we were given certain instructions. So we have, you know, you in the physical world, I mean, you relax and you know, you've got your altar for her, you've got your sacred space in the circle, and you know, you've done the necessary aspects of that. But then what you do is you basically start to deep breathe and you visualize yourself going on the physical world plane to a Y-shaped crossroads with a pillar, because one of the big things that were part of her Hecate's devotions were that there were pillars placed at the crossroads and altars were created at the crossroads. So you go to that, but then there is a stairwell that you open the pillar, because it's very big, and you open and you go down. You go down and you cycle down in a spiral till you get to the lower level. And you're, of course, doing this as a, you know, I don't want to call hypnotic, but a way to deepen your own state of being. And then you're met by one of your own spirit animals, your spirit guides, and they will lead you to the temple. And the temple that we had, that we were led to, had certain things that were very specific, obviously, the very large pillars, but each one will be created for you as your own with her. And then she, you know, once we're there and we've walked in, and then we wind up having an encounter, she comes forward. And there were some really great things. She was a teacher, she was a companion. Sometimes she came as the maiden and we went out and ran around and played, or, you know, the mother, because, you know, we were mothers, we became mothers, and that was our own physical real world identity. But it was, and then the crone or the elder, and she would teach us, and she would commune with us and be given different things. That was our learning aspect, to work with her in circle and, you know, bring in other things on the physical plane was a different version. But this was actually working with her and gaining inner knowledge and being given the ability to experience her in all her forms, depending on, you know, what was coming forward and what, you know, not just the time of the year, but just what our group needed, what each of us needed for that time frame. And then at a certain point, we would come back and our spirit animal would be hanging out on the porch there and take us back to our area, and we would come back up the stairwell and go out the doorway of the pillar and then walk away and come back into the physical realm. And there was, when I got to feel a very personal connection with Hecate. And then during the varying times, obviously, there are many different ways that, you know, you can work with her over and above creating or finding her inner temple in the world, you know. And it was never dark, and it was never, you know, scary. Mm-hmm. But I think depending on what you need, that's a personal way to get to know her. And then there were the standard things of, you know, working with, you know, the different kinds of things that are stones or herbs, you know, mugwort and wormwood and, you know, yarrow. And then for stones, obviously, black tourmaline, obsidian, amethyst, hematite. And doing, you know, placing them on the altar, creating an environment that you want, what you're looking for, what you're, you know, asking for, and getting that help. And it's very interesting because what I feel with her is, as we've talked about, she has so many aspects that it may be you need because of something that has happened at your workplace, or there's, you know, something that you are looking for in a relationship and you're calling it to you. She has, you know, and then, you know, shadow work and, you know, people that have passed that you would like to, you know, connect with. I found that there's so many different aspects of her that it feels very much like I can just visualize what it is, and then I will be able to get the necessary information and go, meaning information on how to connect with her, which way I need to go. And I guess it's very interesting how this relationship has stayed through the years. And I've worked with other goddesses and some gods and, you know, different things, but she has always been someone as an energy pattern, and it's a someone, not a something, that I found that I could, she was there, and I could always, once we started this kind of work, I have been, I've never felt alone, even when I'm alone. So, but she's, you know, she's got a lot of things that, you know, like the one thing, I don't know, it depends on where you are, the yew tree, Y-E-W, you can plant that at your, the, you know, like at the beginning, well, I wouldn't plant it right near your house because of the roots that would grow, but, you know, within the context of near the entrance of your house or the entrance of your property as a protection, because that is a tree that is part of her energy that... I find it interesting how there are things we can do that are for the rest of our community that may not necessarily know what we do or who we are. It has little to threaten others to get them concerned. I actually, you were talking about crossroads, and believe it or not, I realize that I do have one at as I come into where my house is, I do have a Y-shaped crossroads. I think that it would be hard for me to go and do a ritual there because we have a couple of unusual homeowners. So I would probably say I would gather my dirt and come home to do it. But when you said that, it was like, oh, my God, I do have that. Look at that. Oh, goodness. You know, and... But I realized, you know, or erecting a large pillar or a pillar of any kind, I was like, that, you know, that wouldn't go over well. But do you have any other further things? Because we've got about maybe five more minutes or less, and then we have to do our sure. closing process.
Sure. Final words here. Yeah, I, you know, I after forming an alliance with her, there's like so many types of spiritual work that we can potentially seek her alliance with, you know, especially as we journey through transformation. And so just to name a few of them, things such as birth. She's really very protective of children, protection. She's good to call upon for banishing, justice, a little vengeance maybe, road opening, Hecate Sotira, and the knowledge of herbs and magical skills, and increased clarity, with divination and spirit communication are also good things to seek her her aid with or her alliance with. I like, I'll do things like place things that I want to empower on my altar, so that it's there within that space when I'm working with her for, like I'll set my pendulum or my tarot cards on the altar, and ask her to bless them. I think it's just good to know that you can, make offerings. They don't have to be real, you know, crazy, outlandish offerings. I mean, things like, you know, I usually put out water, honey. I'll burn like frankincense and myrrh or saffron. But she likes those things, or any water, wine, bread, cinnamon, garlic, things of that nature. Yeah, so
garlic. I'm sitting here thinking I'm going to put out garlic because that's also going to repel my armadillo.
Oh, there you go.
repels an armadillo. Anyway,
yeah.
I apologize for jumping in, but that just came to mind.
No, that sure. I think that, you know, I like to just, I mean, you go in an altered state, but I think in any ritual, I like to, well, when working with Hecate, just go into, at some point of the ritual, go into that altered state and just commune with her and just, you know, stay alert for any kind of energy shifts, or any kind of subtle signs. You know, like I feel like the owl hooting was one of my signs, and you can just talk to her from the heart, and that's always the best approach.
Definitely.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I'll see things going on, like maybe the candle flame will start flickering more or growing larger, or I'll hear dogs barking or something of that nature. But I always get some kind of a sign.
Well, just to let you know, we were talking earlier. I mean, we're talking like maybe 20 minutes ago, and I heard a bunch of, well, dogs started to bark. Not mine, but the dogs around the neighborhood here. And I was, you said that just a minute ago, and I'm going, yes, she was definitely, that was her way of saying, thank you, yes, I'm here for you guys.
Yep.
So, yeah, she definitely, and it's simple. It's simple things. I know we think of the dramatic for a lot of reasons, theater and drama and film and all that, but those simple things, like you say, a hooting of an owl or the barking of a dog, it's an answer. It's an answer, and that's where our subtlety needs to come in, our own ability to connect with the subtle as much as the dramatic. And so I think we've got 5 minutes, a little bit there, but I think at this point we can get through another maybe statement or two about Hecate, and then I'll have to kind of pull us into our closing. So anything else you want to mention that you feel you didn't have a chance to, because I ran over you?
No, that's fine. I would just say for anyone who is trying to commune with Hecate, doing a ritual, whatever, don't feel bad if you don't detect a sign or any kind of subtle shift at the time of the ritual, because often she will show up later on, like when I heard the wolf howl, or she might show up in your dream. And so, don't, you know, the timing might be a little different, but I would think most often you will get a response.
Right. Well, at this point, I think we need to start going ahead and closing down. So since we have our kind of clean here of discussing if we can be gotten to as to both Deb and I will do Deb first. She can be contacted as I can through the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, which would be www.readersandrootworker.org, or through the hoodoopsychics.com website. And specifically for Deb, it is www.bewitchingb, that's like the bee that buzzes around, bee.com, for work that you would like or communicate with her, any kinds of supplies. For me, that would be the www.milk-and-honey.com, and that's A-N-D, or the www.elvira.com. And at point, we need to also kind of talk about what's going to happen next week, which this exciting topic of journeying through transformation, we will be going to discuss a map to the underworld. Now, obviously, we started, you know, very well with liminal space, and then we wound up with Akati, so I think we're going to have a wonderful time with the map. And at this point, we are obviously still trying to, you know, keep ourselves connected. So as a general rule, is there anything that you would like to say at this point, other than your statement of your, I love your ending. So I will say goodbye, and I'll let Deb do her thing.
Yes, to all of our lovelies out there. Until next time, which on, which well, and which wisely.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio broadcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Central, and is available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. all for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's BARTESIAN.com/cocktail.